Good morning, 12th Street. It is great to see you out this morning. Hopefully the roads weren't too slippery for you. I actually prayed last night, several times, that God would keep the 7 inches of snow away because I didn't want it to affect you this morning. And it's one of the few times in my life that God answered my prayer about the weather, all right? Usually he says no, but I know it's still a little slick, so it's great to see you out this morning. If you're here visiting with us, we want to say welcome. It's great to have you with us. And if you're visiting with us and have not filled out a visitor card, we would like to get one of those into your hands so we can have a record of your visit with us. So if you're visiting and haven't filled out a card, if you could just slip up your hand real quick, and our ushers will bring right up here. Yep. Thanks, Brian. Coop's taking his time. All right. Well, it's really good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's the second Sunday of the year, and you're in church. That's good, right? That's good. And you know, our theme for this year is that you are being given a license to thrive. And so if you didn't get one of the licenses this morning, that's what the front looks like. That's what the back looks like. I want to encourage for you to pick one of those up, and you can look at that. And it talks about, I have learned that whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. And we're going to go through times where we're hungry. We're going to go through times where we suffer need. We're going to go through times where everything is great. And we're going to go through times when everything is terrible. And it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you can thrive in 2016. Well, we have, if you'll take your bulletin, we have several announcements to go through real quickly. Today we have some baptisms, and I am really looking forward to this. It's going to be a great morning with the baptisms. On Wednesday, we're beginning a new class. We're still going to have our Bible study that meets in here, and we're still going through the book of Leviticus. But we're also starting a new study, and it's going to meet in the large classroom next to the church offices. And it will go from 6:30 to 7:30, and the class runs for 8 weeks, and it's called Developing the Leader Within You. And it's a really good series, and so I would like to encourage you to think about being part of that. If you want to be part of it, sign up at the Welcome Center, and you don't have to buy a book for it, but if you want the book is $10, okay? On January 24th, there will be a baby shower here at the church for Alana Stout. It'll happen after the morning worship service, and so please sign up at the Welcome Center if you are going to take part in that. And we want to say a big thank you to Bo and Cole Roberts. They painted Cheryl's office, and it was time-consuming, but they always do such awesome work, and just want to say a big thank you to them for doing that. Next Sunday, all of our committees will have their inaugural meeting. And so if you are on one of our committees, then make sure that you plan on attending. It's going to be right after the service. And look forward to seeing God do some good things through those committees. There are cookbooks for sale at the Welcome Center. The Ladies Auxiliary put them together. You say, why would the Ladies Auxiliary sell, or why would they sell those? The Ladies Alliance, I'm sorry, sell those. Well, here's what they do. In April, the ladies are going to sponsor the church by buying out Kalamazoo 10 for the showing of God's Not Dead 2. And so that way you can invite friends, unsaved people, people that maybe never would go to a church. And they can go and a very good gospel message will be shared with that. And so that's one of the things that the ladies do. They don't just do it so that they can go have coffee and donuts, all right? They actually do a lot of good. And so those cookbooks are very good as well, so I'd like to encourage you to check that out. And the Bear Lake Bible Camp Snowfest for Families is next week, and it's from 2 to 7 p.m., and hopefully there's snow. The youth event that was supposed to take place today did get canceled because there's not enough snow for that. So youth group will take place as regular from 5 to 7 p.m., okay? And then our small groups start up tonight. If you have not been part of a small group or you've thought about it, look out there. We've got maps that show where each small group is at. And I would like to encourage you to get involved in one of those. It's the best way to meet people at the church, and it's also one of the very best ways for you to just grow deeper in relationships. So I'd like to encourage everyone to find a way to be part of those. All right, you can read through the rest of the announcements there. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you've brought us here safely. And Lord, I know that there is much that's on your heart for each one of us. And so, Lord, as we're able to celebrate these baptisms, I pray that you'll be with each person that shares their testimony, that you would speak to our hearts through that. And then, Lord, I just pray that as we bring praises to you, as we worship you through our song, through our giving, through our fellowship, through our hearing of the word, Lord, that all of it today, that it would be done where we do truly hear from you as well. And God, I know that your spirit has some great truths that you want to engage us with this morning. So as we learn from the life of Joseph, as he went from rags to riches, and as we start out by seeing how this young man at 17 years old thrived, help each one of us to be encouraged by his life and to learn how to thrive in our own lives. Thank you, Lord, that you tell us, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
You're just going to put on your headphones, right?
Go ahead and make our way back to our seats this morning. We're going to open up this morning with My Redeemer Lives.
Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see.
Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. Father, we want to see you this morning. Father, as we're about to enter into the preaching this morning and as we're having a baptism service, Lord, Father, we want you to have all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. Father, just open the eyes of our heart this morning that we might see you high and lifted up. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
He is the son of Michael and Pamela Nishizawa, and before I have him talk, I'm going to make him stand here and just be really nervous. Is that all right, Caleb? But what we're doing this morning is we're not obtaining salvation through what we do here. Each person that's here to be baptized has already trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and the reason we're doing this is so we can follow Jesus' example of obedience and being baptized. And you say, well, why then be baptized? Well, number one, Jesus did it. He was perfect. He didn't do it to obtain salvation. He did it to set an example to us that once we have faith in him, that we should do this to demonstrate what we believe. And as Caleb stands here in the water, his body is making a cross with the water, identifying with the cross of Christ, that Christ died for his sins. And in just a minute, I'm going to dunk him. Right, Caleb? And when I dunk him under the water, it shows that Jesus Christ was buried. But then, we'll pull him up out of the water really quickly. Your dad paid me $2 to hold you under for 5 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. We'll pull him up very quickly because Jesus rose again from the grave. Caleb's old person is dead. His sins are buried with Christ. He is a new person in Jesus Christ. Caleb, why don't you share with us when you trusted Jesus?
One night I was sleeping, but then I woke up and I went downstairs to ask my mom and dad because I didn't know if I know Jesus or not. So my dad and my mom and me prayed.
All right. And did you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
And you know you're on your way to heaven?
Yes.
And Caleb, based upon your profession of faith, go ahead and step down, okay? I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's pray for Caleb. Lord God, we know that you have great things in store for Caleb. I pray that you'll be with Mike and Pam as they raise him, that, Lord, they would help guide him in the truths of your word and help us as a church, Lord, to surround Caleb, to help him in every way that we can, and to help him grow into a mature Christian in his faith. And so, Lord, with the future that he has before him, I pray that you would just encourage him with this first step of obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great job, Caleb. Our next person doesn't need a stool, so come on, Eric. This is Eric Hackman, and Eric, why don't you share how you came to Christ?
It's been a long process. I've always followed, I guess, the teachings of Christ, but struggled with my belief in Christ. And through the help of my wife over the last several years and this church, I put my faith in Christ and accepted him as my Savior.
All right. What was kind of the thing that kind of convinced you a little bit?
I don't know. I mean, it's really been a leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And just in the last several months and making that leap of faith, I've seen myself change, which gives me confidence that I've made the right decision.
Amen. So, Eric, based upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's pray for Eric. Lord God, I just pray for Eric that as he continues to grow in his faith, that you would just give him the knowledge he needs every day, that, Lord, as he seeks to obey you, the Lord, you would surround him with counsel, and, Lord, help us as a church to embrace him and help him as he walks through navigates the waters of life, that, Lord, he would find that there's always a group of people here that will support him, but also, Lord, there's a God who has great plans for him. So, Lord, thank you for Eric's testimony of faith today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Next, we have Kathy Liggett. And Kathy, why don't you share about your coming to Christ?
Well, I've actually accepted Christ many, many years ago, and I had been baptized once before, but I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. My husband had passed September of 14, and I've followed, like I said, I've followed Christ my whole life, and he's helped me through a long, long journey. And now that I've met somebody new, I just want to be able to rededicate my life to the Lord and to follow him and be able to come closer to him.
Okay. And Kathy, through your recommitment to Christ, do you know that you're on your way to heaven?
Yes.
And you know that you're saved?
Yes.
And so, Kathy, based upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's pray here together. Lord, we pray for Kathy, Lord, as she has made a recommitment to you, Lord, and she wants to follow you and wants to have her life on the right foundation. I pray, Lord, that you would use this as in her public testimony of that commitment to you, that, Lord, she would live for you. Lord, we as a church would help her through life, and that she would find great success in following the ways of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, come on in here, Gage. Next, we have Gage Roberts. Gage is the son of Cole and Brandy Roberts. And Gage, why don't you share with everybody how you trusted Jesus?
I was in my sister's room. I thought I didn't know about Jesus, but...
Did you talk to your parents about it? Yep. And did you ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you? Yep. And when he told me about it, it's always neat to hear a child come and say, I know Jesus is my Savior. And you say, how can a child know? Well, you know what? So God gives us faith, and that faith is a childlike faith that he wants us to have. And so, Gage, do you know that Jesus is in your heart? Do you know that you're on your way to heaven? All right. Go ahead and step down. So, Gage, based upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would be with Gage as he seeks to obey you and follow you. I pray that you'd be with Cole and Brandy as they raise him and as they teach him from your word. I just pray, Lord, that he would know what it's like to have God in his life and the Holy Spirit as his teacher and guide. And Lord, as a church, help us to help in every way that we can as he learns more about you, that, Lord, he would always stay close to your truth. And thank you for his statement of faith today and being baptized. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Congratulations. All right. And next we have Lucian Stout. All right, Lucian, why don't you go ahead and stand up here, okay? And Lucian is the son of Caleb and Alana Stout. And Lucian, why don't you share with us how you trusted Jesus? So, Lucian, did you talk to your mommy and daddy about it? No? Did you talk to your mom about it? Yeah, and was Larkin there?
Yes.
Yeah, and when you talked to your mom about trusting Jesus, what happened?
I was in the living room. My mom and Larkin were there, and they asked Jesus into my heart.
You did. Mm-hmm. And Lucian, you're 5 years old, right? You sure you know Jesus is your Savior? All right. And you know that you're on your way to heaven? That's awesome. So, Lucian, based upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for Lucian's testimony. I pray that you would help him to continue to grow in his faith in you. I thank you that he wanted to take the step of obedience. And I pray that you'll be with Caleb and Alana as they raise him, that, Lord, they would have wisdom from on high and that they would teach him the truths from your word. And so, Lord, as Lucian continues to grow, I pray that we as a church would love him and help him and in every way possible aid Caleb and Alana in their nurturing and admonition in the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. And so, Lord, continue to build into Lucian's life his faith, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we'll invite the ushers to come forward. 12th Street, it's time to take up the offering.
All right. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that we get to witness that you are still at work in lives, Lord. We thank you for those that were baptized this morning that have put their trust and faith in you. And Father, we just pray that you'll just be with each and every one of them, that they will continue to grow and to have a closer relationship with you. Father, we just ask that you'll just bless this time now as we take up our offering. We just ask that you'll just be with each gift and each giver this morning, and that we can see the this money go forth to further your ministry. And we pray this now in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.
For him, then I don't have them. See, my brain has not yet reached the point where it could form a thought that could adequately describe the greatness of my God. And my lungs have not yet developed the ability to release a breath with enough agility to breathe out the greatness of his love. And my voice, see, my voice is so inhibited, restrained by human limits, that it's hard to even sing the praise up. You see, if there are words for him, then I don't have them. My God, his grace is remarkable. Mercies are innumerable. Strength is impenetrable. He is honorable, remarkable, favorable. He's unsearchable yet knowable. Indefinable yet approachable. Indescribable yet personal. He is beyond comprehension, further than imagination, constant through generations, King of every nation. But if there are words for him, then I don't have them. You see, my words are few to try and capture the one true God. Using my vocabulary will never do. But I use words as an expression of worship to a Savior who is both worthy and deserving of my praise. So I use words. My heart extols the Lord, blesses his name forever. He has won my heart, captured my mind, and has bound them both together. He has defeated me in my rebellion, conquered me in my sin. He has welcomed me into his presence, completely invited me in. He has made himself the object of my sight, flooding me with mercies in the morning, drowning me with grace in the night. But if there are words for him, then I don't have them. But what I do have is good news. For my God knew that man-made words would never do. For words are just tools that we use to point to the truth. So he sent his son Jesus, Christ, as the Word, living proof. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, giving nothingness formation. And by his word, he sustains in the power of his name. For he is before all things and above all things. He reigns. Holy is his name. So praise him for his life. The way he persevered in strife, the humble son of God, becoming the perfect sacrifice. Praise him for his death, that he willingly stood in our place, that he lovingly endured the grave, that he battled our enemy, and on the third day rose in victory. He is everything that has ever been promised. Praise him as the risen King. Lift your voice and sing, for one day he will return for us, and we will finally be united with our Savior for eternity. Eternity! So it's not just words that I proclaim. For my words point to the Word, and the Word has a name. Hope has a name. Joy has a name. Peace has a name. Love has a name. And that name is Jesus Christ. Praise his name forever. Say that forever we have a King. So Lord, we lift up that forever. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your death. And we thank you for your life. We thank you that your life gives us life. So now, Lord, to you be praise and glory, for you have created all things, and by you all things consist. Thank you for giving us life that is eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time we'll dismiss the children to children's church. And how about a big hand for our praise team? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37, as we begin a look at a man who thrived in Scripture. And when you look at his life was not easy. In fact, his life was often very, very difficult. We're going to look at the life of Joseph. And I've subtitled this 6 weeks part of the series, From Rags to Riches. Last week, we were given a license to thrive. And I would encourage you to pick one up at the Welcome Center if you don't have one. It's a great reminder that 2016 can be all about thriving in Christ. And as we begin this series, it explains Joseph's background. His family tree describes a lot of the issues that he dealt with. So I want to start by looking at his family tree. Jacob had 13 children with 4 different wives. That's Joseph's dad, Jacob. All right? So that is a crooked family tree, right? 13 children with 4 different wives. That's just a very crooked family tree. And if you look in your bulletin, I've listed for you there what each mother's name was and then what order the children were born. What happened was Jacob was looking for a wife, and he met this lady named Rachel, and he fell in love with her, and he worked for 7 years for Laban, Rachel's father, so that Rachel would be his wife. After 7 years, they had the marriage ceremony. He went into the tent, and surprise, surprise, the next morning, it wasn't Rachel in the tent. It was Leah, her older sister. And so Jacob worked for 7 more years to have Rachel. Now, Jacob and Leah had 4 sons right off the bat. Reuben was the oldest, then Simeon, then Levi, and then Judah. Well, Rachel wasn't able to have children at the beginning, and so she started to get worried that he's going to love Leah more than her. So she said, hey, why don't you take my handmaid? And she gave Jacob her personal servant, to be Jacob's wife. And so Jacob has 2 sons with Bilhah, and their names are Dan and Naphtali. Well, Leah kind of, he's having children through the handmaid. I'm going to lose my spot. So she gives Jacob her handmaid to be a wife. And he has 2 children with her, Gad and Asher. All right? Kind of a messed up situation here, right? And so then Leah has 3 more children. She has Issachar, Zebulun, and Dinah. Dinah's the daughter in the whole group. And then finally, Rachel gives birth to Joseph. And then she'll give birth to Benjamin. While she's giving birth to Benjamin, she dies. Well, Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob because he's the oldest child of his favorite wife. Is anybody else, your stomach just kind of turning right now? You're just kind of going, this is in the Bible? I mean, this is messed up, but it's all here. Let's read here in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 1. It says, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brother, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. So Jacob, 17 years old, or Joseph at 17 years old, is sent by his father Jacob to work. And what sons does he work with? He doesn't work with Leah's sons, all right? They're older, and they're probably a lot grouchier. We'll find they are a lot grouchier. And so he sends them to work with the handmaid sons. Now, he's still younger than all of them. And at 17, They're in their 20s. So can you imagine? Oh, great. We get the little one with us this week. Do you think he got any of the good jobs? I'm sure he got all the worst jobs. I'm sure of it. Because he's working with the handmaid's sons. And it doesn't sound like Jacob gave Joseph any authority with them. But here's what we find from Joseph. Joseph, he's with his brothers, and they're doing something evil. The Bible doesn't tell us what's evil. I mean, I've read all sorts of ideas. Some people think that they were cutting limbs off of live animals and eating them. I don't think so. I don't think that was it. But they were doing something that was evil. And in doing that evil, Joseph reported it to his dad. And he didn't do it in a way where it was like a tattletale. It was something that was good. It was something that was honorable. In verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. I mean, don't you think that's going to be a natural result? You give your son a coat of many colors because you love him more than all the rest of your sons? They're going to have a hard time with that, right? And that's exactly what happens. Joseph is the favored child. And because Jacob loved him more than the rest, his brothers hated him. Verse 6. And he said to them, verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. All right. If you have a dream and your brothers already hate you, you probably don't share with them things that will make them more upset, especially if it deals with being favored above them. And here's the dream that he shared. Verse 7, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance or bowed down to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. It's one thing to have the dream. It's another to tell somebody about it, right? So now they hate him because he's the favored son, but now he thinks he's better than them. He just told them that. He had a dream. Now, what's curious about all this, the dream that he has is actually prophetic. Someday, his brothers will bow down before him. But as a 17-year-old, he just had a dream. His older brothers, now they hated him before, now they really hate him. But it gets worse. Verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance or bowed down to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and your brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to you in the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. All right, this story is it's not just a story, but it's an interesting account. What God shares with us here is we see a son who is thriving, Joseph. He thrives partly because dad helps him thrive, but he also thrives because he chooses to do right even when others around him did wrong. We'll get to the whole dream thing in a minute, okay? Because some of you probably aren't going to be able to get over that in your mind. You're going to be like, how arrogant must you be to share that dream? That dream was from God. All right. Now, if my kids came to me and said, Dad, I had a dream. You're going to bow down to me. I would have the same response as Jacob. I would say, you think you're better than me? I'm the parent. You're the kid. You know, children, obey your parents. But the thing that we have going for us today is we have the written word of God to help guide us. And so God isn't giving dreams of special revelation to people. Back then, they didn't have any written word of scripture. And so here's how God communicated with man. He gave them special revelation. And he did that with the 17-year-old Joseph. You can question his wisdom in sharing that dream with everybody. It'd be legitimate to question that. But God was communicating a truth of something that would happen. They all would bow down. Even his father would bow down to Joseph someday. So as a 17-year-old here, we see that Joseph was put to work by dad. Although he had a coat of many colors and he was favored, he still had to work. And so I want to give an encouragement to all you parents. Show your children how much you love them by making them work. Amen. This is real. This is serious. You see, some parents think, I'm going to show my kid how much I love them by never giving them any responsibility. You don't give them any responsibility, they won't know how to be responsible. Right? Joseph learned how to be responsible because dad gave him responsibility. And even though dad gave him the coat of many colors, dad made it harder for him. Okay? It would be kind of like going to work wearing something that says, I'm better than all of you because dad said so, because that's what the coat of many colors said. But while he's at work, having to work with the handmaid's sons, and he's younger than all of them. So they're moving the sheep around. They're walking through town. When you walk through town, you try to clean up the best you can. Because they did. They had to travel through towns and they go into open fields. So I just imagine Joseph as the one with the pooper scooper. All right? I can just see that that's his job. And he's following the sheep around. The brothers, hey, Joseph, you missed one over there. All right? He's not getting the best jobs. He has to work. And it's hard on him because not only was he the favorite, he's wearing a coat that says, I'm the favorite. But here's what we see about Joseph. He had integrity. Because even though he's getting all the worst jobs, when his brothers do something wrong, he doesn't think, oh, if I keep this quiet, they'll like me better. You know, for all you teenagers, from time to time you think, well, if I keep this quiet with the group of friends or the group of people I want to be friends with, they're doing wrong. If I keep it quiet, maybe they'll like me better. And you know what? That shows a lack of integrity. That is not what God wants, and that is not the way to thrive. Thriving isn't necessarily being liked. Thriving is doing what is right. And so Joseph told on his brothers. So now, if you're Bilhah and Zilpah's kids, you get in trouble with dad, and I'm sure you go tell Leah's kids, you don't ever want Joseph around when you're working. He'll tell on you if you do something wrong. Now let me just give you one example of something that Leah's children did that was wrong. Leah's had all those boys, right? She had six boys there, and she has Dinah. Well, Dinah went into a city called Shechem, and while she's there, a man thinks she's really good looking, and he ends up forcing her. And in the process of that, word gets back to Reuben, the oldest, and to the sons of Leah, that this had happened. They ask, the men of the city ask that Leah will be given in marriage. I'm sorry, Dinah. Dinah will be given in marriage to the man. And so the sons, they're devious here. They say, sure, but in our people, you have to be circumcised. So all the men of the city were circumcised. And the Bible says, and while they were sore, Leah's sons killed the men of the city. Okay? I don't know what evil Bilhah and Zilpah's sons did that Joseph went and told on them, but I imagine it was probably something in the ballpark of that. Okay? Something where It ruffled feathers. It created problems. And so Joseph showed some integrity. Let me speak to you parents for a second. Joseph had an opportunity to tell his dad because he knew that he had an ally in his dad. See, if there is wrong that's being done by others and your kids come to you and they ask for help, be that help. Don't just say, deal with it. Because if Jacob would have said that to Joseph, you know, he's the guy wearing the coat basically that says hate me on it. And if dad hadn't been his ally and helped him when he gave that evil report, then Joseph would have been less likely to continue on the path of integrity. And he needs integrity in his life. As his story goes, we're going to see more and more. He needs that integrity built into him. And so dad was an ally. So parents, be an ally to your children for what's right. Sometimes our kids have to be willing to stand alone, and we have to be willing to let them stand alone among their peers. We all want our kids to be popular, in a sense, right? We want everybody to like our kids, right? You don't like it to hear, you know, this kid doesn't like me, and you think, how could they not like you? You're wonderful, right? Isn't that what we think as parents? But sometimes we have to allow for our children to stand alone and be willing to put them in a situation where they have to stand alone. You know, parents, just as we have to prepare our children for a license to drive. Now, I'm glad I haven't had to go through this driver's ed thing yet, but we're months away from it, all right? And you better believe that I am going to spend a lot of time with my daughter, Kayla, in helping her learn how to drive. Why? I don't want her to go out on the road and get into an accident and have something happen to her. I will do all I can to prepare her so she's ready. Well, in life, we teach our children whether or not they will thrive in life. And just as we work with them to give them a license to drive, parents, let's give our kids a license to thrive. Here's how we do that. Number one, this is in your bulletin. Give all your children honor so they know what it is like. Let's learn from Jacob. Don't just give one child honor, okay? Give them all honor. Let your kids know that they are special. Speak good into their lives. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You tell your children they're stupid, they're going to be stupid. You tell your children that they're worthless, they will be worthless. You tell your children that they can't, they can't, they can't, they won't, they won't, they won't. And so, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let me encourage you, speak good to them. Give your children responsibility. Make them work at home. Give them chores. All the kids said, oh me, but all the parents say amen. You see, but it's a way that we help prepare them. It's giving them a license to thrive. Because if they can learn how to be a good worker at home, they will be a better worker in their job. If they can't be a good worker at home, they're going to struggle being a good worker on the job. Thirdly, give your children the opportunity to make good decisions. Let them be in a situation where they can make good decisions. Now, notice how I'm phrasing this. I'm not saying bad decisions, right? Put them in a position where they can make good decisions. I'll never forget flying over to Hawaii and playing in a football game in Hawaii. I was in eighth grade. My brother Josh was in sixth grade. I got to go because he went with me. All right, if it would have just been me, I'm sure my parents would never have let me go. But since we were both there, and you know what? On that trip, I had lots of opportunity to choose wrong. But I had even more opportunity to choose right. You know why? Josh was going to tell on me. There was no doubt about it. He was going to tell on me. And even when I left the door to go and do wrong, he says, "What would Dad say about that?" And I walk all the way to go do wrong. I get there, And I turn around and I go back. But here's what had been placed in me, the opportunity to do right, to make a good choice. I was going to be found out either way. It'd be better to do right. Put your children in situations where they can make good decisions. At 17, Joseph was ready to be tested. That's when he was put out to work with Bilhah and Zilpah's children. And so, find the right opportunities at the right time and build into your children the ability to make right decisions. And don't make them knowledgeable of evil so that they know what evil is. Don't do that. In fact, in Romans chapter 16, it tells us that we should be innocent of evil and excellent at what is good. And so don't think that exposing your children to evil things is good for them. No, that will enable them to make evil decisions. Expose them to a lot of good things and keep them innocent of evil. One of the most beautiful things in the world is to meet a teenager that's still innocent. And you go, oh, but they're friends. We'll make fun of them. Good. That's the proper time to stand alone when their friends are making fun of them for being innocent of evil. So invest into them so that you are confident of their innocence of evil. And when you know that they're innocent of evil, you have more confidence they'll make good decisions because they'll know more good than they will evil. So now let me just speak to everybody here. Let's close out favorite words of a sermon, right? We're getting ready to end. I want to tell you how to thrive according to the pattern that's been shown to us so far. First of all, do right. Do right. We never thrive when we do wrong. We only thrive when we do right. Do right. There's a song that we used to listen to when I was growing up, Patch the Pirate. I don't know if everybody's heard of Patch the Pirate. Anyway, there was a song that said, do right till the stars fall. Do right till the last call. When there's no one else around to stand by you, do right. And that's what we learn here from Joseph. We see that we should be doing right. Second of all, demand right. See, Joseph didn't just do right. He demanded right. And how did he demand that right? When they did wrong, he told dad, because his dad was an ally who could help take care of it. Demand right. You say, well, I can't demand right for others around me. Sure you can. When I was in college, I worked at an auto repair shop. And the guy in the stall next to me was foul-mouthed, just angry all the time. And he used the Lord's name in vain all the time. I could put up with every swear word that he said, but when he said the name of the Lord in vain, I would look over at him and I would say, Ron, you shouldn't do that. And he would say, why not? You're asking God to damn all of your work. And he's just doing what you're asking him to do. And he threw a wrench at me a couple times. And I'll never forget, he had an engine block that he was trying to get out of a vehicle, and it had one bolt that was stuck. And he broke three snap-on wrenches, okay? Snap-on wrenches, they're guaranteed, they're not to break. He snapped three of them. And on the third one, he was just having a fit, profanity-laced everything, and he kept using the name of the Lord. And I had let him know, I can put up with any profanity that you have, but not the name of the Lord. And I said, Ron, you got to quit using the name of the Lord like that. And, you know, he did throw a wrench at me. And I said, Ron, try a new strategy. When something goes wrong, stop and ask God to help bless the situation. So he's on wrench number four. And I knew it was going to happen. It snapped. And I look over him and he looks at me and he's just at the end of himself. And he kind of gets the smirk on his face and he goes, God bless it. And I kid you not, that broken wrench turned one more crank and the bolt loosened. And he looked at me. Don't look at me. But you see, when you demand right, You can help those around you. Okay? So we had been moved away from Wisconsin. We were living in Michigan. And I get a random phone call one evening. We were living in Hudson, Michigan. I pick up the phone. Hello, is this Thad Stout? Yes, this is Thad Stout. Thad Stout that used to work at Grinwald Ford? Yes, Thad Stout that used to work at Grinwald Ford. The Thaddeus, yes, the Thaddeus Stout. He goes, this is Ron Burleson. And I'm like, Ron, how are you doing? What's going on? He goes, I have called 158 T Stouts in the phone book. And I'm like, well, what's so urgent? What's going on? He goes, those 2 years where you were in the stall next to me, he said, you lived your faith. And I just felt like I had to call you and say thank you for living your faith. And I'm like, what else is going on? He goes, that's it. And I remember when we hung up, I just looked at Rachel and I'm like, I cannot believe this. See, do right. But I want to encourage you, demand right. Because you know what the world around us does? It says, no, you have to tolerate and accept my evil. And you know what, folks? We don't have to. We don't have to. We can demand right. Now, there are a lot of swear words. I didn't say anything to it. A lot of filthy things he said. I never said anything. But when it came to the name of my Lord, I said something. And I never thought in a million years he appreciated that. But to get that call, demand right. In Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Demand it in your family. It's not an option in your house. You will do right. You will serve the Lord. In 1626 to 1627, the king of Sweden, Gustavus Adolphus, was expanding his military, and he built a ship called the Vasa, W-A-S-A, but pronounced Vasa. It was a warship. It was the biggest, greatest warship ever built at that time in history. It had bronze cannons that lined the top of the ship. And there was a problem as they built this, that it was very top heavy. And so when they launched it in 1628, the ship made it 1,400 feet and tipped over when a breeze came along and sank to the bottom. It took them Over 200 years later before they could finally go back and were able to pull up the cannons. And even today now you can deep sea dive down and see the Vasa that sunk. The problem was, as the king was having it built, the architects and the builders, they knew that it was top heavy. But the king kept demanding more cannons on top, and they were all afraid to tell the king no. And so everyone signed off on it just because the king said he wanted it done that way. And because of their lack of courage, the Vasa sank. Don't shipwreck your family's faith. Don't lack the courage to do right or to demand right. Your language can shipwreck your family. Like we talked about a few minutes ago. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You speak those things into your children. You speak evil. You use corrupt communications. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So go ahead and be filthy with your speech. Your children's manners will grow filthy. It'll happen. The places you go can corrupt. Your family can cause a shipwreck in your family's ability to thrive. In Psalm 1:1, it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinner, or sits in the seat of the scornful. See, the places you go, they make a difference. You spend your time at the bars, your children are going to struggle. They're learning a pattern of behavior that is not going to aid them in their walk with the Lord. You spend your time at the casinos. You spend your time at a strip club. Men, you can ruin your children's walk with the Lord by the places that you go and the things that you participate in. In Galatians 6, it says, "For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." The things that you participate in, you're either going to help your children thrive in their spirit, or you're going to shipwreck their faith. The most beautiful thing in all the world for me as a parent is going to my children's parent-teacher conference. And you go, really? Yeah. Because every single one of my kids' teachers have told me this last year, they all said, your daughter, when it was Kayla's teachers, Kayla, your daughter Jenna, your daughter Leah, has such strong faith. I just step back and I go, oh, that's better than an A. That's better than being the brightest person in the class. And then I look and I go, how is that happening? When we do right and we demand right, I believe we serve a faithful God. Joseph will thrive the rest of his life because his dad did teach him to do right. Let's do right. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for this time we could spend together this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you're a God who is forever faithful. And Lord, we can depend on your promises. We can be assured that whatever you say, it's real, it's true. And if we train up our children the way that they should go, when they are old, they will not depart from it. Thank you, Lord. As we close out this time, Lord, if anyone here has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, the ability to do right is not going to be with them. The opportunity to demand right will never be a part of them until they trust Jesus. I thank you for the great testimonies that were shared in the baptism. And I pray, Lord, for any here who have never put their faith and trust in Jesus, you're the only God who can save. And so, Lord, I pray that right now they would just call out to Jesus and say, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin in my place. Come into my life and save me. And Lord, right now you will save them. Lord, if any here have just been struggling in their home life with thriving, I pray this morning they would have been encouraged. And Lord, that we would just be people, whether we have children at home or not, that we do right and we demand right and we see that our God honors and blesses that. So now, Lord, as we close out this time, we express a need for you. We depend completely on you, our holy and righteous God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing the closing song, I'll be standing here at the front. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and you would like to, come up here and just tell me that you would like to. I would love to either talk to you myself or have someone else talk to you about trusting Jesus Christ. And let's sing out the song to the Lord because this is a great prayer to him.
I want.
Hackman have come to join the church, and Luke and Missy with their children, Natalie and Logan, they've come to join the church as well. And so God is good, isn't he? So obviously this morning you've been able to hear Eric's testimony. Ann has been saved and baptized and by immersion, and so they've come to join the church. So if we could have a first and a second to bring them into membership. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Welcome to 12th Street Baptist Church. If you can go to the back so we can extend you the right hand of fellowship. There. And Luke and Missy, they've both been saved and baptized. They shared it with our class, or the pizza with the pastor. And also I've had conversation with them, and they love the Lord, and they're coming into our church with a statement of faith. And so if I can have a motion to receive them, a first and a second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Welcome to 12th Street Baptist Church. If you could go to the back, so we can give you the right hand of fellowship as well. Let's pray here together. Lord God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that when we cry, Lord, I need you help, that you are the ever-present help in time of need. And Lord, when things are good, you are the God that says, keep doing good. You don't sit idly by, but Lord, you enable us, you help us, and I thank you for that. I thank you that you are a God who is involved in every aspect of our lives. And so, Lord, as we leave here, we know that we can do right, and we know, Lord, that you demand right from us, so help us to just be involved in that great work of being what you want us to be. And so, as we go from here, let the words that we speak breathe life into others. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever we could ask or think, be glory and dominion both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Redeemer lives.
ideas, the things to do.